We will read now the scriptures in the book of Acts, chapter 6. We will read verse 8 through verse 15. The book of Acts, chapter 6, beginning the reading in verse 8 through verse 15. The book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 8. This is the word of the living God, and he says to his church using these words. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Sicilia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Amen. Let's pray again. Close your eyes. Let's talk to God. Oh, Heavenly God, we read your scripture. And now we beg to you that your Holy Spirit can work on us. Help us to see the greatness of our God. And help us to see our own heart making us change to glorify your name. And making us be light in this world through the works of your Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a very important text to the book of Acts. And this is specifically because this moment will be the moment by which God will use Stephen to make the biggest sermon of the book of Acts and probably the biggest sermon that we have in all the New Testament. And through this sermon, persecution would start and should increase in Jerusalem. And the Christians who were living there, who were attending the church of Jerusalem, they would be spread through all the earth because of this situation. Stephen was one of the deacons of the church. He was probably a deacon for a short amount of time. He was elect deacon in chapter 6 in the first 7 verses. And Stephen was one of the 7 Greek deacons who were chosen by the church to help the apostles of Jesus Christ in the situation of the widows of the Jews. They were complaining because the Hebrew widows were receiving more than the Hellenistic widows, and then they decided to choose 7 men, 7 wise men who were walking with God to help the disciples as deacons of this church. This is one of the persecutions that Satan was trying to bring to the church. Until this moment, Satan was attacking the church in many different ways. He tried to trap the apostles in the first chapters of the book of Acts. He tried to convince them to stop and to put their faith out and to make them believe in other things. But all of these was not enough. Some of the apostles were arrested in many situations. And then, knowing that threatenings and prisons were not enough, Satan decided to attack the church from inside. And he attacked the church first through Ananias and Sapphira, who brought an offer that they should not brought before God. They said that they had a cell, a possession, and they were giving all the money to the church. But it was a lie. They were lying to the Holy Spirit. And then through this situation, the Holy Spirit brought discipline to the church, and they died before the whole congregation. And then Satan brought what we have in chapter 6 from inside again. People were complaining about the church. They were not being grateful with the many blessings that God was bringing to them. And through this, a division could happen in the church of Jerusalem. But instead of division, God brought 7 specific men to work wisely and to work to Him. And one of them is Stephen, who is the person who we will deal today in verses 8 to 15. When the Bible speaks about Stephen in chapter 6, verse 5, it says that Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. This is what the scripture speaks about him. And it's interesting because the scripture speaks only about him in the verses 5 and 6. There are 7 of them, but only Stephen received these adjectives and these characteristics of himself. And then now, in verse 8, we find Stephen again, having again his character being analyzed by God. Here in verse 8, it says that Stephen is a man full of faith and power. And he was also doing great wonders and signs among the people. This is very important in this context. Specifically why? Because wonders and signs, they were made through the apostles in the whole New Testament and through 3 specific persons in the book of Acts. Stephen, one of the deacons, Philip, another deacon, and Ananias, when he healed Paul. He was still Saul, but he became Paul after the healing. Wonders and signs were used by God to show His power and to show to His people that those who were using the wonders and signs, they came from God, and they were being used to God to show something to the church. This is why the apostles not only teach everything they teached, but also they became the apostles because they were showing to the people that they didn't know only the message of the gospel, but they were showing the power of God by the same time. We know that they came from God because when we go through the book of Acts, for example, we are seeing them not only teaching the doctrine of our God, but also they had the signs that God sent to His people. The signs are important. The wonders are important to know that people are coming from God. Of course, this here in the beginning of the church, we don't have apostles anymore. We don't have the necessity of new revelations anymore. We have the scripture, the full scripture, and this is enough for every believer to be like Jesus Christ. But here, the wonders and signs, they are showing that Stephen is doing something important to the church of Jerusalem and for those who were before him. He was preaching in the synagogue. He was teaching about Jesus Christ. He was speaking about salvation. He was speaking about how Jesus Christ fulfilled all the promises of the Old Testament. He was with boldness teaching them about all those things. And then arose some from the synagogue of the freedom. Those are specifically Galileans. They were people who came, they were Greeks who became Jew because of many different reasons. And they brought to the Judaism also the intellectual level that the other religions of the empire had. That is why they came from these specific cities who are quoted here, the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, from Sicilia and from Asia. Alexandria specifically was the capital of the knowledge of that time. So those men should be the most wise and more intelligent men of this time. They should be more prepared than everyone else. And then we see them disputing with Stephen. They're trying to show to Stephen that he was committing a mistake when he was speaking about Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of every promise of the Old Testament. They were arguing about Jesus Christ not being the Messiah. They were trying to convince him through the scriptures, using Isaiah, using Jeremiah, using Daniel, all the knowledge that we have in the Old Testament. But then we come to verse 10, and in this verse it says that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. They were masters of the law. They were people who studied the scripture for a long time. Stephen was a believer maybe for 1 or 2 years here, and they were not able to show any mistake in his interpretation of the gospel, of the scripture. And they were not able to win this dispute. And because of this, they became anger. And in their anger, they took a terrible decision. They secretly induced men to say liars about Stephen. We need to understand what is happening here to progress in our interpretation of these texts of the scripture. Here we are seeing a man used by God, speaking with boldness to people who were persecuting the church and who were persecuting the apostles of Jesus Christ already in this moment. Stephen was before those who had threatened the apostles and who had beat them when they were arrested by the high priest and the council, and he was still disputing with them and teaching to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. One thing that we need to realize is that Stephen was called to be a deacon, but he was also called to be a man of God. And a man of God will always do those things. When he sees an opportunity to speak and to teach and to show the gospel of Jesus Christ, he will always use these situations to teach and to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Stephen was not a preacher. Stephen was not a pastor. He was not a man who went to a seminary for many years to study the gospel. He is just a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. This is what his faith brought to him. We cannot go through chapter 7 of the book of Acts, but we would see there that Stephen spoke with boldness and in a wise way about everything in the Old Testament. He brought all the prophets and all the promises to the feet of Jesus Christ, showing to them how great is Jesus Christ and showing to them the majesty of the works of Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that he was not a preacher. He was not a guy who made a great exegesis of the text. He was not studying all the day long. No, he was a simple deacon who listened to the voice of God and let him work through him. The scripture says that when we don't have words to teach, the Holy Spirit will give us the words. And we should remember that when we look to Stephen. Stephen was being used by the Holy Spirit, and God can also use us in the same way. Maybe not with the signs and the wonders, but he can give us the word to preach, to teach, and to offer the good news of the gospel to everywhere and to everyone around us. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing here. And not being prepared, because Stephen was probably not prepared, the most wise men in his place, they were not able to fight against his wisdom. Not because he was a smart guy. Pay attention. It's because the Holy Spirit was speaking through him. And when the Holy Spirit works, nothing in this world can win the battle against him. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the gospel. This is the power of Jesus Christ being manifested in this situation. And we need to understand that this is what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives and through our lives. But of course, when Satan cannot win the battle using the wisdom of this word, when Satan cannot win the battle against people of God and the Holy Spirit using the weapons that he has, he goes to persecution as his weapon. And this is what we will begin and we'll start in verse 11. We need to remember that those men who were disputing with Stephen, they were Jews. Jews who said that they were people of God and that they were fulfilling the law of God, the commandments of God. And now we are seeing verse 11, they secretly inducing men to say lies against Stephen. And those are not common lies. This is not just a false witness against him. They choose wisely something that could bring an end to his life. They said, verse 11, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Why did they say that? Because in the Old Testament, if you go to Leviticus, you will see that those who blaspheme against the God or against the law, they should be murdered, killed in the middle of the whole congregation. So they were saying, this man, Stephen, he's a blasphemer. He's speaking blasphemies against God. So if he's doing this, he should be killed immediately by the Jews, with no exceptions. And then we realize that their false witness, it worked very well, because in verse 12, they summon him before the elders and the scribes and the leaders of the Jews. And he was before exactly those who killed Jesus Christ a few weeks before this moment. So the high priest was there, the elders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those men, they were there now before Stephen, using the words of those men against him. And the witness, the false witness, they add to those things what we can find in verse 13. This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. We don't know exactly if they know what Stephen is speaking to them, but probably in those things that they were saying, there is some truth. There are some truth. Why? Because Stephen was probably the first preacher in the whole scripture before Paul who brought a good interpretation of the fulfillment of the promises in Jesus Christ. Here, Stephen was teaching them and showing to them that they should not continue to live their lives as the Jews were living before Christ. He was probably teaching that they don't need any sacrifice anymore. You don't need to offer any lamb to God, because the Lamb of God already came, and we don't need anything else besides Him. You don't need to come to this place, to the synagogue, to the temple of Jerusalem, because now He is everywhere. He is in our hearts. The Holy Spirit already came, and He is living on us. So we don't need the places, or we don't need specific situations like they had in the temple anymore, because Christ now is seated on the throne and He's the ruler of everything. He was teaching those things, and this is why they were saying He's speaking against the holy place, against Moses. Stephen was teaching them that the law could not save them anymore. We know that the law is still important. But we know that we will not be saved by the law. If you fulfill the commandments, if you try to fulfill all of the commandments, first you will not be exactly what you think you will be, because you will not become a saint. You are still committing sin against God, in your mind maybe, in your heart maybe. David told us that when he prayed to God, asking Him forgiveness for the sins that he didn't know he was committing. And many times we don't think about that. But this is true. We are not able to be holy people without Jesus. We are not able to buy your salvation through the fulfillment of the commandments. And he was teaching that you need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ. Stephen was teaching them this. You need to look to Jesus. You need to understand that He is the fulfillment of every promise. And now you should follow Jesus and not live your life as you were living before, but live through the lens, through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And that is why maybe they said, he wants to change our customs. He wants to change our way to look to the law. He's blaspheming against all those things. Of course, they were not able to see. They were not able to understand. And because of this, they took him to the council. And we will see him being murdered by the same people in chapter 8 of the book of Acts. In the end of chapter 7 and in chapter 8. Stephen was used to bring the message of the gospel to these people. And then by the end, in verse 15, we see them looking steadfastly at him. And his face was a face of an angel. In other translations, it says that his face was shining like a face of an angel. I never saw an angel before. But the idea is that their face shines. But of course, this is not just a simple quotation here. We need to understand that this whole thing together, it's pointing to something very specific in the whole scripture. It's pointing to Moses and to what Moses was to the Jews and for their tradition. Moses was the prophet of the law. And being the prophet of the law, he had wonders and signs. And it's very interesting because if we go to the Old Testament, we will see, for example, in Exodus 34, that for two times his face was shining among the congregation. The purpose of those things here in the book of Acts, it's to point to what we have in the Old Testament and to show to the Jewish people that like Moses was bringing a new message to the people of God, now Stephen was bringing a new message for the Jews. He had signs as Moses. He made wonders as Moses. And once he was preaching and teaching, his face was shining like Moses' face. The situation here is completely attached to the message of the law and to the message of the gospel. And this is what God is trying to teach to these people. And they were realizing that God was everything they need. And then we need to look to this text and understand the meaning of this text for us today. We need to understand that here God is showing the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ through Stephen. It's important to notice that Stephen died just after his preaching and his teaching in chapter 7. And many times, and many commentaries already ask why that happened. And I really think that happened to make the people of God continue to look to Christ and not to Stephen. It's easy to do that with Paul. Why? Because Paul was a persecutor of the church. When the believers, they looked to Paul being a new man, a new converted, a new believer, they were not able to forget his past. This is why when he went to Jerusalem, the apostle said, you will not be here. Go to your city, be there for a while. We don't want you here. They were afraid because he was Saul, a persecutor before. He was a terrible person. And he says that about himself. He entered house to house. We will see that, for example, in chapter 8. He was going house to house to force the believers, the Christians, to blaspheme against God or they would die. This is not easy to forget. He was an evil man before knowing Jesus Christ. But Stephen was a normal man, probably a guy who was serving the church. And here we can see the signs, the wonders, and the gospel in his mouth. The church could easily look to him and say, Stephen is a wonderful person. We should look to Stephen and we should think on him as a prophet or as someone in a high level. This is what many churches in many places today does. They put pastors in pedestals. They worship people. They look to them as they could be something. But of course, they are nothing. We have only one Lord. We have only one Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. So we should not look to Stephen here. Stephen is a wonderful man for this moment, but he's just a tool in God's hand. And as a tool, he brought the full gospel of Jesus Christ to bring freedom to the people of God. This is the goal that Stephen is giving to the church of Jerusalem. And it's interesting because here Stephen was teaching the gospel, and probably many believers saw him speaking about those things. And it's very interesting that Luke had his sermon with precise words. And that means that many Christians listened to his preaching by that day. They were there listening to him to preach. That is why Stephen, Luke also have all of his sermon, maybe 42 or 43 verses of the scripture, speaking about his sermon in Jerusalem that day. They were there, they were listening to him. And after his death, they went to the word, speaking the same truth with the same boldness by the same Spirit. They were not afraid. They were not scared. They were not thinking about hiding themselves in caves or anything else. They just went to the word. And in 10 years after that, Christianity was worse than any disease that this world could see, because it was everywhere. If COVID was bad to the world, Christianity was much worse, because God was doing believers in every city of the Roman Empire. He was bringing converts, believers, to Asia, to many other places of the world. And 15 years after that, the whole Roman Empire already had a church who was fulfilling the gospel, preaching the gospel, and teaching the gospel. We need to understand that this is what a believer must do. We are called to confess the name of Jesus Christ. We are called to speak about His name with boldness. We are called to trust in the benefits of the Holy Spirit. We are called to believe that He can use us and that He can make us tools in His hands. We are called to trust that the Holy Spirit can use the preaching of the Word and that He can convert many hearts to God. We are called to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that there is not most strange than this gospel. The gospel of Jesus, the message of Jesus, the person of Jesus are able to break any heart, to break any mind, to change anyone and bring them to God. We have everything we need to be people who serves our God in this world today. But of course, we are living in a world who is trying to making us stop to preach. Today, in almost every word, every part of the world, if you start to speak or to teach about Jesus Christ, they will already try to make you stop. Because the word of God and the teaching of Jesus Christ cannot enter in their ears and make them continue their sinful life and their way of life. This is against everything that we hear from the culture of this world. But Stephen was not thinking about his life here. He was not thinking about being respectful to the people around him. He was before them and he was telling them the truth. If we look to his preaching, he said to those Jews who were almost killing him that they killed their Savior of this world. They killed Jesus Christ. And you need boldness to do that. And we need boldness to do that to the people around us, to teach them that they are sinful people and that they need a Savior. Otherwise, they will not find salvation. Otherwise, they will go to hell. There is no salvation besides on Jesus' hands. And we need to understand how important this is for us today. Because around us, in America, a lot of people is just going to hell. They say that America is a Christian country, but a lot of people here doesn't know Jesus Christ. And many of those who say they know, they just want some parts of the gospel, some specific teachings of the gospel, like love and kindness. But they don't want to bow down before a Savior and confess His name. But this is what the Scripture is calling us to do. The Scripture is calling us to teach the whole gospel, to bring salvation to lost people. My friend, dear congregation, we need to look to this passage and we need to shame ourselves because we are far away from where we should be. We need to stand and we need to realize that we need to change our behavior. We need to speak with our families. We need to speak with our neighbors. We need to speak with our friends, and we need to bring the truth of the gospel to them, and we need to show them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot waste time speaking of any other thing. We will speak more about this in the evening service. But we should think wisely to use our lives to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is urgent. It's urgent. You have just your life, and it's not a long life, to offer all the gift that God gave to you to Him. And this is the call of the gospel. May God can convince us to use our lives to the benefit of the gospel. And may we will have boldness to preach the good news of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Close your eyes. Let's talk to God again. Our Heavenly Father, we are so glad for the message of the gospel. And today we come before you, asking you boldness for preach the real gospel of Jesus Christ for those who are around us. We know that sometimes we are afraid. We know that sometimes we feel we are not able to do it. But we ask you, Lord, that may you can use your Holy Spirit to give us boldness and to give us the words that we need to preach, to evangelize, to bring people to your feet. And may we will see ourselves being used by you and proclaiming your name and your gospel in this world. Help us, God, and we are so glad that you are speaking with us today. We are glad that you are calling us to our ministry in the church and in your kingdom. Help us, God, to fulfill your call and help us to proclaim your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.